From the Lynn to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 10th day of February, 2025. Happy birthday to my brother, Rob. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at agmarket.net. We'll hear from Frayne Olson at North Dakota State University Extension about tomorrow's WASD, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, and his thoughts on the marketplace. And then as we close out our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast too, that with Mark Caruso. He's at Everstream Analytics. And along the way, I'll remind you to visit our website at willag.org, where today you can see the agenda for the All-Day Outlook at the Beef House. That's coming up in less than a month now, and you can register. So get yourself to willag.org right now at willag.org and register for the All-Day Ag Outlook and prep for this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
March corn for the day at 491 and a half, finished four higher. The May settled at 504 and a half, up four. And December futures up five and a quarter. The settlement price at 471 and a quarter. The March beans unchanged at 1049 and a half. November 1057 and a half unchanged as well. Bean meal at $300.50, down 90 cents. The bean oil 25 cents lower at 45.73. Soft red winter wheat at 579 and a half, three and a quarter lower for the March. The hard red at 596 and three quarters, down 7.5 cents. Live cattle futures $1.35 higher. Feeder cattle up $3.22 and a half, and lean hogs were 52 and a half cents lower. Now joining us to take a look at this marketplace is Kurt Kimmel. He's at agmarket.net. Hi, Kurt. Thanks for being with us on a Monday. Tell me about the marketplace as you saw the trade today.
Well, corn continues to climb the wall of worry. There was a little concern last night, and the corn market did open lower. Beans, too, on some additional tariffs being initiated. Just fear that, or concern that it could escalate. I guess the concern is the aluminum for those who buy products that's packaged in aluminum might want to maybe switch to invest in some glass for those packaging companies, due to the fact that aluminum could maybe get a little pricey. But just concerned about these tariffs, where that's leading to. But the market, I think, is a little bit more focused on demand still robust. We saw Mexico come in, pick up an additional 365,000 tons of corn. They need corn. They're going to continue, hopefully, to buy corn, as we're probably the best supplier. But what's kind of front and center, I don't know if it's going to be a big market maker tomorrow, would be the monthly supply-demand report, Todd.
Yeah, so the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate is due out tomorrow. The numbers that could change more than likely would be the Argentine corn and or soybean numbers. I suppose corn more likely than soybean at this time, just based on where it is in its maturity. What's the trade thinking about?
Well, on the Argentine corn, the average trade's just a little bit lower, down about 1.3 million metric tons at about 48 million metric tons. The ag market team lowered theirs down to about 49.5, so a little smaller crop there. Same thing on the soybean crop. Looking for last month, we were at 52 million metric tons. This month, 50.6, so down about 1.5. The ag market team's right with 49 million metric tons, so looking at just a little smaller there. On the corn crop, basically the average guess is 126.8, last month 127, so slightly lower. And on the beans, slightly higher. Brazilian bean estimate last month was 169 million metric tons. Ag market team's actually at 170, feeling that that Brazilian crop is a little better, not much, but just a little better than what the trade is looking at. The other part of the equation is the domestic numbers. Not a whole lot of change there. We'll expecting kind of unchanged number there. I believe we're still early enough in the marketing year that there's not going to be a whole lot of adjustments on this report. They'll probably start making some adjustments as we go into March or April on the domestic numbers here, Todd.
What else have you been watching in the marketplace? I know you've been probably closely tracking, again, as you mentioned, the tariff proposals by the Trump administration. Have there been reprisals or others from Mexico or China or other places that are tracking back for retaliation at this time?
Well, we'll see. We did see Chinese come in, some additional tariffs, mainly on the energy sector, which is kind of surprising to me from the standpoint they're an importer of energy, but they went after energy. Of course, vehicles, I believe it's pickup trucks, but they're a small consumer of U.S. pickup trucks, and some farm equipment. So we'll see how this unfolds. The biggest thing is, as we approach the end of the month here, first part of March, see where we are with Mexico and Canada particularly, because they're much larger purchasers and sellers of corn and cattle and so forth to the southern hemisphere. Got to watch that weather map. A lot of the drought monitors or weather forecasts don't show Mexico in the picture here, but the Mexican forecast remains arid, and Mexico is going to continue to need some grain for their country here. So Mexico is a key player here for the corn market as we move forward.
What is the ag market team's Brian Split telling you about the technical picture for the marketplace? Anything of interest?
Yeah, he's kind of been in the camp here on the bean chart. It's kind of head and shoulders bottom formation here. And the main thing is watching that 200-day moving average. It's just above the marketplace. We bumped into it a few times. Even this, he doesn't know what the technical or the fundamental picture is going to show here or unfold. But technically, if we can move above that 200-day moving average, maybe we have a little giddy up in the marketplace. Corn did that a while back, and corn's been finding support on just about every pullback we've seen here over the last 2 months. Corn-wise, just about every 10 cents up, a little bit of resistance, about every 10 cents down, some fairly good support. But the team came in and we did, you know, do a little marketing here on the December futures at this 470 area, recommending put some price floors in because this market can go the other way in a hurry. Not a crop insurance agent, but the average price for corn here is just a few pennies above a year ago, but beans are almost a dollar below a year ago there, Todd.
Thank you much, Kurt.
You bet. Take care.
Kurt Kimmel is with AgMarket.net. The theme music for the closing market report is written, performed, produced, and courtesy of Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. Do visit our website. The address is willag.org, willag.org, where today you'll find the full agenda of the upcoming Tuesday, March 4, All-Day Ag Outlook to be held at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Registration is just $40, includes the whole of the agenda, plus your Beef House coffee and roll in the mornings and that fantastic Beef House lunch. Don't wait. Register today. The cost is $40 at willag.org or on the FarmDoc site at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Fran Olson now joins us from North Dakota State University, where he's an agricultural economist with Extension. Thank you very much, Fran, for being with us. On Tuesday, USDA will update the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates reports. Are there any expectations that the domestic numbers here in the United States will change?
The odds are pretty low. I mean, when you look at what the pre-report industry guesses are or estimates, you know, they're maybe looking for a slight tightening of the corn balance sheet. And because we're actually, when you look at today's numbers, a bit ahead of the pace that USDA is looking for. So we're having a better export season so far. They might increase the exports number a little bit, which would tighten up the bottom line. You know, corn, the soybeans and the wheat numbers, I think, will come in pretty stable. So, you know, I really don't expect any big shocks or surprises. That's typically the February report is relatively stable. We're just kind of nibbling around the edges and making sure that we're refining the forecast. So taking the current information that we have, updating those and just trying to make some small revisions. So I really don't expect anything domestically to change. Internationally, you know, everybody's looking and focused on what's happening in South America. There's a few issues, you know, too much rain in northern Brazil. You know, Argentina's a bit on the dry side. I think it's a little too early in the season or too early within a production cycle for USDA to make any major changes there. I have seen some of the private forecasters adjusting their estimates for both Brazil and Argentina. But I really don't think USDA will do that yet. They're going to want to have confirmation that the problem is really severe and that it's going to actually have an impact on the ending numbers. So I think this February report is going to be relatively quiet. You know, I kind of said that last time as well, but in the January report, and I was certainly wrong on that one.
The other item that has been out there, and we'll be talking about it for at least 4 years, I suspect, is what farmers will oftentimes call the Trump trade. And this is about tariffs. But when they talk about Trump trade, that's about the futures markets, I think. Can you give me your view of where the futures markets are considering the Trump trade and how the cash market is dealing with it?
Yeah, okay. So, you know, the future market is really concerned about allocating over time, right? So we're looking at the identical, when you look at the contracts we trade, you know, the quantity, the quality, the delivery location, the timing changes, the timing of delivery, because we have these different contract periods. But really the only thing that shifts is that contract period. Everything else is fixed. And so it's very easy to trade. We're really concerned about price, right? And what's the value of a particular a commodity at a particular time. So they're looking at the real big picture things, you know, supply and demand. Are we using it up a little too fast or a little too slow? It's really trying to allocate our usage and our production over time. The cash market has to worry about a lot more stuff. It's got to worry about making sure that the right quantity, the right quality arrives at the right location at the right time. So the cash market is actually a little more complicated. When it comes to tariffs, the futures market's really concerned about those big picture supply and demand things. If we have a trade war, if there's a tariff on a particular country, what will that do to, you know, consumption? What's that going to do to our bottom line? But the cash market is also worried about timing. And one of the things that I've seen or noticed now when we look at weekly export sales, weekly export sales for corn and soybeans have been pretty good this, and even for wheat, but pretty good for the last several months. But it seems as though our export sales are starting to slow. And I don't know if that was because some of the international buyers are trying to build up some inventories ahead of any potential trade war. But the cash market now is, I think, will respond differently to any kind of trade or trade problems. Simply because if a tariff were to be put on, the tariff is applied when it crosses the border. So, you know, I could have pre-purchased a particular amount at a particular price. That's all locked in. But the tariff's not applied until it crosses the border. So even though I might have pre-purchased the cash market, you know, and locked everything in, the cash market has to worry about this delivery timing, and will some of those purchases we have on the books be canceled, even with penalty? Will it be canceled? Is this going to change the timing? Is this going to change the delivery location for some of this? So the futures market is always looking forward, trying to anticipate, and the cash market's looking at what kind of reality and saying, well, what do we have in place? And let's make sure that we get the right grain at the right to the right place at the right right time, right? So they can respond differently. You can see more volatility in futures versus cash, or on the flip side, you could potentially see more volatility on the cash than the futures. It all depends upon, you know, where everything's located and where it needs to go.
To be clear, this would reflect retaliatory tariffs by a country on a U.S. commodity that they had already purchased. For instance, that could be corn, correct?
That's typically that's the way we look at it, yes, because the The tariffs that the United States are putting on is for the importation from other countries. Now, when you look at the major commodities, corn, soybeans, wheat, we're really concerned about the retaliatory tariffs. So if Mexico or Canada or China were to put on tariffs of U.S. products entering their countries, that's what we're concerned about. However, here in the Northern Plains, there's a lot of grain and product that goes across from North Dakota, Minnesota, Montana into the Canadian markets and vice versa. An example of that is canola. Canola, we have two very large crushing plants, in one in North Dakota, one in northern Minnesota. They buy a lot of canola from Canada. A lot of it's grown domestically, but they also have to import simply because of the size of their crush plants. So if we do put on a tariff for Canadian products, that means that the Canadian canola is going to be priced more highly than higher than the U.S. or North Dakota canola, and therefore the value of the North Dakota canola goes up, and it's simply because of the tariffs, and it changes the flow of grain, it changes the logistics patterns significantly.
And the product that comes out of it may also be tariffed on the way back over the border.
Yes, it could. Yes, it could. Absolutely. And I know from North Dakota, the Canadians are the number one buyer of U.S. ethanol. They're a major buyer for U.S. DDGs. The new crushing plants we have here in North Dakota are sending a lot of their soybean meal into the Canadian hog market, as well as the Canadian beef market, the feedlots in Western Canada. So, we're pretty sensitive to this stuff up here right along the border because it has a pretty big impact on our trade flows.
Anything else we should discuss for the day before I let you go?
No, just that I always remind farmers that the two most difficult things to forecast or predict is weather and politics. And I usually say weather is more difficult, but in today's environment, politics, I think, is going to be a lot more difficult.
Indeed. It's always good to talk with you, Frayne. Thank you so much. We'll talk with you again next month.
All right. Appreciate the visit. Always enjoy this.
Frayne Olson is an agricultural economist with North Dakota State University Extension. He is located in Fargo. Mark Russo now joins us from Everstream Analytics. Hi, Mark. Thanks for being with us today. I want to start in South America again. Argentina is the place that has the market on the cusp, wondering whether that crop is hurt enough to really cause an issue within the world marketplace, or whether it has gotten enough rainfall and whether will it continue to do so. What's your assessment at this point for both corn and soybeans in that nation?
Yeah, well, Todd, for Argentina, I think it's a crop-by-crop situation. For corn, which is more heat-sensitive, these heat waves that have taken place in Argentina, certainly it's taken its toll on the crop here and likely caused some irreversible yield damage. Just lately, with some of the increase in rain activity, at least that has tempered things a bit. But for corn, especially as it's gone through really the heart of its pollination stage here in recent weeks, the heat has been more significant and more detrimental. For soybeans, though, it's a bit of a different story. They're now really beginning the primary window of soybean pod development and filling. And so now it's a yield sensitive time frame, and that'll continue even all the way into the start of March as well. And so with rain activity increasing last week in Argentina, kind of a bullseye of big rainfall totals right in the heart of the corn and soybean belt, that combined with more rain coming up. In fact, a period of unsettled weather starting tomorrow, going all the way through February the 19th, 20th, that should provide more rains in the highest concentrated corn and soybean acreage. So that's more timely here for soybeans and likely helping provide more benefit.
And so we'll have to keep an eye on what the NIC looked like in Argentina for corn, particularly to give us a better idea of what that crop will do. I suspect that USDA, which has its WASDE, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate, may not yet have a good handle on what's been taking place in that nation, as would be the case if we were here in the United States and you were trying to get a handle on the size of the corn crop late in the month of July or early in the month of August and didn't know how well NIC went. Turn your attention now to Brazil and update those growing regions for me.
Yeah, overall, Brazil is in good shape, although, again, soybean harvesting and safrinha planting is running behind the five-year average because of the slower planting earlier and then also some of the recent wetness. Going forward, the pattern is certainly turning less active, and actually for much of eastern southern Mato Grosso, let alone much of center west Brazil, even down into Paraná, the outlook features below normal rainfall coming up. So that'll help to improve the harvest pace. Not going to make up ground, but it is going to be much better coming up the next few weeks compared to how it has been. Now, further south in Rio Grande do Sul, where developing soybeans are still taking place, the outlook looks more favorable with rain development there, helping to boost soil moisture for developing beans.
Given how quickly harvest can pace along, do you have concerns for safrinha or second crop corn?
Not right now. It does push things, you know, the overall season later, which means it starts to push it, the growing season, into the potential freeze season once we get into later in May and June and July as the crop matures and then starts to get harvested. But again, it doesn't mean that there is going to be extreme cold and provide any kind of risk, but just a later crop does just inherently at least increase some probabilities of some cold weather threats.
Wait, they have cold weather threats in that part of Brazil?
Believe it or not, they do. You can have Antarctic air mass move into all the way up into Brazil. Typically, it's the Paraná, the southern crop, that faces more of some risk there. But yeah, you can get significant cold as far north as Mato Grosso.
Oh, a new risk factor for the market to consider. Thank you, Mark. Here in the United States, speaking of frozen, we've gotten cold again. What can you tell us about the weather in our region?
Yeah, speaking of cold, the next 2 weeks looks even colder and stormier here for the nation's midsection. While the cold does not look extreme enough to cause any kind of winter kill threats for crops, the increase in precipitation, as well as increase, a lot of that being in the form of snow, especially central and northern Midwest, will actually help make up some of the precip deficit that's been in place in areas of the upper Midwest. And overall, this is the most active that the Midwest has been in quite some time. And that's also benefiting winter wheat, and even a little bit of wetter conditions in the plains, hard red winter wheat belt, especially central and northern belt.
Hey, thank you much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Everstream Analytics. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report that came to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world, where right now you can buy your tickets for the All-Day Ag Outlook at WILLAG.org. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.